afternoon. Darren and Justin here with you. We're excited. We head east where it's later in the day. Yeah, it's 4:03 where this our next guest is.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Ferrara. Vinny, what's up?
What's up, guys? Getting ready for, hope you're doing well, getting ready for the WIBK Knoxville Christmas parade that we're riding in tonight.
So okay, very cool.
Get a chance to do the parade wave
awesome.
To everyone.
What float are you going to be on? Sports Animal?
No, there's several vehicles from one of the great local dealerships here, and it'll be morning host Tyler Ivins and myself, and we'll be in one of those vehicles waving to everybody. So there's sponsors, and we kind of spread out throughout different sponsor floats and things like that. So that's where he and I will be.
Awesome. Shirt or no shirt? What are you going tonight? Shirt or no shirt?
Okay. I've lost some weight, but I'm not there yet, Darren. Oh, by the way, it's kind of cold outside, so
yeah, okay.
I think we'll be wearing. We'll be decked out in Christmas colors. I think there's a Christmas sweater that they're gonna give to us to wear. So I think we'll keep the clothes on, though.
Okay, well, I'm just checking, man. I never know. You never know. Speaking of, you know, it was a frisky question. Speaking of frisky, Shane Beamer's frisky. What? Help us understand. Help our audience understand what. You know, we saw it in the game against Tennessee, but give us the backdrop. What have I missed on why I'm confused on why Shane Beamer really has no problem trolling Tennessee fans? I guess because they've been trolling him, but I don't know. Give us the dynamic. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
He definitely has little special sort of interests, we'll put it that way, in beating Tennessee. He's taken some little shots at Tennessee before, which of course gets the Tennessee fan base going, and they've given it to him on the regular for those things. And he had a little comment. What happened was the SEC Network said they put out a tweet promoting that they were going to have him on, and a fan was like, "No thanks, I'd rather have my wife drag her fingernails along a chalkboard then watch that." And then so he retweeted that and said, so does that mean you're not going to watch? It's been, I haven't heard from any UT fans on my timeline as of late. You guys enjoy your bowl game. So it's like, okay, anyone outside of Lane Kiffin, like how many head coaches are spending their time when we hear about how little time they have, spending their time replying to fans? And so how did he even find out about it? Is he doing a search for himself? I don't know, but it was just strange for a head coach to reply that way. I you know, people say that he negatively recruits Tennessee. You know, that's, you just never know what kids are, you know, are going to say and how factual some of that stuff is. But that's kind of, you know, what you hear. And I don't know if there's a background on it. I know he spent some time at Tennessee, so maybe he's grown to dislike it since he's been at South Carolina. Or maybe it's just, hey, they're kind of our competition to get to Georgia, so we need to elevate us and bring them down in any way possible. I don't know the original origin of it, but it's been something that's kind of been lingering there for a while. I just thought that was really strange for a head coach to spend time to do that, other than Lane Kiffin, who finds the time and still generally has success.
Yeah, he even said, haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. Welcome back.
Right.
transfer portal. Boy, we brought that up to Rick Stockstill on Monday. That
we
opened up a can, and I get it. You talk to coaches about it, and you know, it's, especially if you're at MTSU, it's a hot cold. It's definitely a hot button issue, right? So, what's the fallout of the transfer portal for UT?
Yeah, and you feel worse for the group of fives, right? Because on both ends, because they get the Power Five schools raid their rosters. So anytime you want to have success, now it's been presented and the opportunities are there for them to level up. And so they can go get them. They get recruited. Let's be honest, they're getting recruited to come up to the Power 5 level by some of those big schools. And so it's hard to keep them. Now, on the other hand, they also do get some that fall from they get those the fruits that fall from the tree that don't make it. So they do get some on the other end. And what happens is they have to block out a certain amount of scholarships. A lot of high school coaches I talked to have said that they keep keep 8 to 10 scholarships that used to go towards high school players that would go to that level, and now they hold those back for the transfer portal. So they're playing the game on both ends, and so who's hurt the most is a lot of high school kids because of all those numbers that everybody is having to play. And then honestly, a lot of kids that hit the transfer portal don't find new homes. And guess what? As soon as they hit the portal, they don't have to go. But if they decide to stay, the schools don't have to give them a scholarship or grant them a scholarship after they hit the transfer portal. So you can decide you want to come back, but might not get a spot. And then there's no guarantee you get a spot when you go elsewhere if you decide to hit the portal. So it's a dangerous game. It's a numbers game that everybody has to play. In terms of Tennessee, it's right now there's 3 guys that have said on social media publicly that they're transferring. 2 wide receivers and Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway. 2 guys that were quarterbacks in high school, and they obviously named Jimmy, and then they moved to wide receiver together, and they both had spotty and underwhelming times. Each had their own little moment here and there, but neither of them could carve out a big enough role. And Tennessee trusts their top receiving core more, and they play those guys more, so there wasn't a role for them. There probably would be some opportunities next year, but so those guys both said they were hitting the portal. And then Miles Campbell is the newest one. He was a 4-star tight end that has been around the program a couple of years that just, according to Alex Golish, just really had to learn how to play hard on every snap and just didn't play very much at all. And again, Tennessee played their starters the most and really didn't rotate a lot of those guys in. And so those are a couple of others that have on 3 reported that are expected to hit the portal. A couple of running backs, Justin Williams-Thomas, who was the leader right coming out of spring. He was in the spring and was really impressive, another 4-star kid. But then he was passed over by Dylan Sampson and never could get on the field. And then Lenith Whitehead, who was out for the year injured. He's been injured most of the time he's been here in his 3 years. And all those guys are 4-stars. None of them really had major roles so far, but you just never know. The way Tennessee has developed guys, sometimes guys develop late and then find a role. So those are the ones that we know about to this point, but there's going to continue to be more because, guys, the transfer portal window hasn't officially started yet. It doesn't start till Monday, and it's a 45-day period, and then there's a 1 week after spring ball, and I think that's a good thing so everyone can work out the numbers, and we're not doing this all at the last minute. And right now, the only guys that are hitting the portal are guys that were either on the lower level, the FCS or Division II, things like that, or if they had a head coaching change at their program within 30 days, or grad transfer. The window hadn't even opened yet. And as of noon today, I counted 102 players in the transfer portal when it's not even open yet fully to everybody. So it's 20%, according to Sports Source Analytics. Just under 21% of the starters last year in the FBS were transfers. And that's like double from the year before. So this is a massive part of having success in rebuilding your roster this year. So there's going to be a lot of incoming, outgoing, but it's not exclusive to just any schools. This is across the board.
You brought up Alex Golish. I brought him up to you on Monday. I'm seeing reports out there that he is a candidate for the Cincinnati job. Do you think there's a real shot they lose him this offseason?
It's hard to say. It depends on the gig. I mean, that's a gig where it's a little bit more advanced in terms of the roster than some others. Oh, by the way, they're going into the Big 12. So coaches are going to view that as that's now a Power 5 gig. So I honestly don't know what their level of interest or how high he is in that, or if he's just, you know, people are putting two and two together, or maybe his agent is working that. It's hard to say at this point right now, but I think he's in a position where he could be a little bit more selective. That's maybe more appealing than just jumping to any group, group of five gig. That's higher level because you're going into Power 5. So it's a possibility, but then what does Tennessee do in terms of making sure that they keep their coordinators, or at least their offensive coordinator, or the coaches they want to keep, and will they pay up and respond and him say, you know what, I'm good with his raise, we'll ride it out another year, I'll get another opportunity next year. So it's definitely worth watching because of that gig specifically.
Vince, we talked briefly a few days ago about where Tennessee could end up as far as a bowl game is concerned, and I brought up the Orange Bowl and the Sugar Bowl in particular, and you introduced the Cotton Bowl as a possibility as well. I know that, you know, obviously nothing has changed on the field since we've spoken last, but the dust, I imagine, has settled a little bit. People have had a chance to think about it. Duval fans have a preference? Does the football team have a preference about where they would like to go at this point?
Well, it's really down to what the only thing that changed, Justin, was the college football playoff rankings came out.
Yes.
And it's unlikely that they would change much with neither Tennessee or Alabama playing, Ohio State's not playing. So because Tennessee was slotted behind Alabama, the pecking order right now would be Alabama, if everything is chalk, Alabama to the Sugar, Tennessee to the Orange. But here's the wild card in that is Ohio State. What Ohio State has done is, well, first of all, there was a report, the Rose Bowl, saying there's this cluster exception and they may look to choose someone other than Ohio State, who right now would be slotted for the Rose Bowl if they don't get into the college football playoff. And then Ohio State gets a report out that says, no, we actually told them already that we wanted them to pick somebody else. The Rose Bowl doesn't want them because they didn't sell all of their allotment or close to all their allotment the last time they were there. The two teams that they could potentially play in the Rose Bowl in Utah and Washington, if it's from the Pac-12, those are their last couple of opponents when they were there already, so they have that little, well, same team, same matchup deal. So they look elsewhere to Penn State, who hasn't been there in a long time and would probably sell all their tickets. So Ohio State doesn't want to go there again, and which is crazy that Big Ten teams don't want to go
to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
How far have we come?
It is a different world for sure. So what that would do is if they pick Penn State, who was slotted behind Tennessee in the pecking order and was a candidate to potentially take an Orange Bowl slot, then they would go. If they were to be picked for the Rose Bowl, then that would push everybody down in terms of those other at-larges and slots per conference. That would push Ohio State to the Orange and then bump Tennessee to the Cotton. The Cotton is the least of Tennessee fans' preferences and desires, to your original question, Justin.
Yeah.
Fans wanted the Sugar Bowl the most because that is the most prestigious and they would be slotted ahead of Alabama, and there's that what we deserve aspect of it that we talked about on Monday.
Well, there's also New Year's Eve on New Year's Eve in New Orleans. There's that too.
That's true. Although there have been some fans that have said, "Well, I don't want to go down there. I want to go to the beach."
Huh?
So I think the Orange Bowl, and here's another factor, is the opponent. If it was the Sugar Bowl, it'd be Kansas State for sure. If it's the Cotton Bowl, it'd be Tulane or TCU. If it's the Orange Bowl, it's Clemson if they beat North Carolina. I think fans would love the warm weather aspect of it. They haven't been in the Orange Bowl's history there. And then you get to play Clemson and have a shot at Dabo and then have maybe your most meaningful win going into the off season. That's where a lot of things point as to that's where fans most want to go. And then, obviously, the dislike for Ohio State now is ramped up if it's Ohio State that ends up pushing Tennessee back as well. So there's some kind of late-week angst. Honestly, Vince Ferrara has some of that, too, because I want to go to the Orange Bowl selfishly because I'll be in Tampa for Christmas, and then I could just drive to Miami and then go cover the Orange Bowl and then drive back and spend even more time with my family and in the warmth of Florida after that. So that was my personal preference, but either any one of those bowls would be great, but it's between Orange and Cotton right now because we don't expect Alabama to fall behind Tennessee in any form or fashion.
Boy, this thing just keeps getting more and more interesting. All right, last thing from me here is the talk about Hendon Hooker continuing to be nominated for awards and be very close to getting honored for the season that he had despite the injury. Have Vol fans really kind of wrapped their mind around what's happened to Hendon Hooker? Have they gone into legacy mode, or are they still more or less a little bitter about what happened? Not bitter at him, but just bitter at the way it all ended.
Well, he's certainly tough, and Tennessee fans don't forget anything. So that's going to always be there. But I think he is held in tremendous regard. I don't think that's changing. And sort of like with Josh Dobbs, even though the farther away you separate from it, the even greater appreciation there was for what he was able to do. So I think the appreciation for him will only grow in the future. And then it's he deserves to either be the Heisman winner or deserves to be in New York and talking down everybody else. Certainly looks like it's Caleb Williams, but to me, I think Hendon Hooker deserves to be in New York as a finalist. But it, all signs are pointing towards Caleb Williams and winning it, but there's still the campaigns that are out there and at least hoping that he gets to New York where the Tennessee fans feel like he deserves to, and I think a lot of people do.
Tomorrow morning, is it 9 o'clock our time? I think 9 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock your time.
Yep.
Where can we watch the game, Justin?
Fox 17 here locally.
Fox 17.
Here in Nashville. If you're in Knoxville over there, you can the Fox affiliate in Knoxville. Those fine folks have the game.
I don't know if you've seen the rumors, but apparently could be a little Flugate game. Supposedly, Netherlands dealing with some team flu.
look at Darren with the soccer intel.
Huh?
How about that?
Huh?
How far we've come.
We are your soccer station here at WNSI. Yeah.
And two, I love the fact there's two Nashville SC players with the USA, and there was 37 MLS players going in. I think there's 13 left. A couple of them have scored. So, it's awesome. It's been so much fun. And I think, healthy flu or not, I think Tennessee. I think the USA has a great chance to beat the Netherlands. So, man, can't wait for that tomorrow.
Really? You think they have a great chance?
I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Netherlands have been a little susceptible. I always think they're a little bit overrated with their FIFA rankings to where the reality, Van Dijk is an elite player. I mean, they got some skill, but a little shaky at times. I think the USA's midfield, they've been spectacular. I think they're going to have great success there. Got to finish, though, and today, supposedly, Christian Pulisic was cleared, so there's some USA intel. And so, yeah, if they're healthy, I think they got a great shot. Yeah.
Wow.
Just remember, you heard it. Netherlands dealing with a little bit of flu, so maybe. I just hope they don't come out like Michael Jordan, in the flu game. We don't need that. We don't need that crap.
Well, it worked out well for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but we don't need it to work out well for the Netherlands.
No.
We need them to actually be sick and, playing like crap. Feeling like crap, playing like crap. Because we're talking about USA getting where they've never been before, right? They've never won. They've only been to this stage, this portion, the final 16, once, like 20 years ago, and they've never won this game, right? So this would be a first.
Yep. Be awesome.
See. All right. Mm-hmm. Benny, good stuff. Appreciate it as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Guys, do the same. Looking forward to it. Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara, 99.1 The Sports Animal, there in Knoxville. Phone lines wide open.